The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike. It's such an honor to have you here every day at this time in Orlando, in Gainesville, in Ocala, all the surrounding areas across the Shepherd Radio Network. We meet here with a guest. Today, I have a pastor, Drew Taylor, from Willow Creek. Welcome to my program.
Hey, Mike. Glad to be here.
It is so great to have you. I've heard about you. I understand you know my son-in-law, Chris Jesse, who is at Metro Life Church. And you guys are, I guess, are close to the same age. And
That's right. We've done some ministry kind of outreach projects in Castleberry, where we both reside. We often eat at the Tijuana Flats there. That's kind of our go-to
that's
spot.
It. Right? Oh, yeah. That's my place, too. I love it. Got to get the Dos Tacos.
Taco Tuesday.
That's it. You got to go there for that. That's a good one. Now, your church is Willow Creek. And of course, my good friend Pete Alwinson was there for many years.
Yeah, he was our founding pastor. Pete's still very much involved in the church. He leads a men's Bible study called Forge, both at Willow Creek on Tuesday mornings at 7 and then elsewhere around town during the week as well. So we love Pete. In fact, he recently shared and led our devotion time at our men's retreat at the church. And so, yeah, he and his wife, Karen, are very much still involved in the church, served there about 25 years.
Oh, I know it. And he is a walking man of wisdom and one of the most unpretentious individuals that I've ever met.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. In fact, the story for myself and Pete, kind of a funny. So whenever, you know, your listeners, you're thinking about, hey, where am I going to find my church home? And maybe you're looking around at different places. Well, I was doing that. My story, I moved over. We'll get into my story later, but I moved to the area in Orlando to go to seminary at Reformed Theological Seminary, had brand new to town, kind of looking for different churches, got connected through an elder named Ryan Johnson at Willow Creek. Pete invited me to have lunch with him. We talked. I did my internship at Willow Creek. I was at Willow Creek all of about 4 months, and then Pete announced, I'm going to be retiring and moving on to men's ministry. So it was kind of one of those like, oh no, Lord, what are you doing? Do I stay? Do I seek to move on? But thankfully, the Lord has allowed me to serve and be a part of Willow Creek for 11 years now.
Oh, that is wonderful.
I tailed on right at the end of time with Pete.
Now, you look way too young to have an 11-year tenure at a church like it. That's amazing.
I have a baby face. I'm older than I look.
Well, I used to think that I had a baby face too, and I probably did.
You still do. Yeah.
But it didn't work out the way I thought it would, and we'll just leave that one right there. But it's great to meet you and to find the guy who's actually, now you're interim pastor, that's your title right now.
That's correct. So I serve as the minister of member care and connections at Willow Creek, essentially our assistant pastor. I kind of describe to people, I'm the first point of contact, probably one of the first people you're going to see when you enter the doors on Sunday morning, from literally the front door. I'm sharing the announcements, helping folks get connected. I lead our new members class. I oversee our small groups and things of that nature, opportunities to kind of connect more deeply into the life of the church. And then on the care side, I have the privilege of walking alongside maybe some of our older congregants or families that are going through difficult circumstances. And so get the joy of really ministering to people kind of no matter where they are in the life of the church. But yes, right now I am our solo pastor on staff. Willow Creek is in the middle of a pastoral search that's been going on for a few months. In fact, that elder I mentioned, Ryan Johnson, is heading up that committee along with several other members and friends of our church, including Mike Henderson, acquaintance of both of ours. And we are hopeful, optimistic, that the Lord is going to bring the right man to Willow Creek, perhaps even in the next handful of months. It's looking very positive on that search front.
Now, your church is located not far from Castleberry. You mentioned it's actually inside of Winter Springs, but only a few blocks.
That's right. So we are located on East Lake Drive, which your listeners may or may not be familiar with, but basically kind of right on the Winter Springs Castleberry border. We're sort of northeast Orlando. And we like to say that those are our primary areas that we minister in. Of course, Seminole County as a whole, we have friends and members from Oviedo and Winter Park and Maitland, other places. But primarily because of the location of our church, if you turn right out of our parking lot, you are immediately in Winter Springs, kind of the Tuscarawas Country Club community area, middle, upper middle class. If you turn left out of our church parking lot, you are within a couple of blocks, about a half mile from the city of Castleberry, which is where my wife and I live. And Castleberry is, I would say, more blue collar, a little bit more diverse economically as well as culturally. And we love the blend of having folks from kind of both communities of Castleberry and Winter Springs.
And speaking of that, I understand you are a good friend and fellow podcaster with Andy Searles.
That's right, Mike. Andy, you and I know, we joke, Andy really is kind of the mayor of Castleberry, is he not?
He knows everybody.
He knows everyone. Andy is a great guy. Definitely am thankful for the connection that I had with him. He and I started, I guess, gosh, it's been just over a year ago. I'm looking at this microphone setup we have here. We've got headphones, not as fancy of a mic, but a decently mic. We started a podcast called What's Up Castleberry. So give a little plug. It's on all the podcast platforms. What's Up Castleberry, essentially, it's not specifically a faith-based podcast, although Andy and I just, it kind of, the gospel comes out of us.
It couldn't help but do that.
You can't help it. Yeah. But we desire to have conversations with city leaders, those that are involved in the community, those who are very much connected. And we want to highlight and basically express, hey, these are the great things that are happening in Castleberry, Florida. For those listeners that are in the area, you know, Castleberry has gone under quite the transformation, a facelift there on 436 and 1792. And so we are just excited to be both ministering there, live in Castleberry, and we want to highlight and celebrate what is being done in the city. And so each week we do about a 30-minute podcast where we have guests come in and share about different parts and pieces of their involvement in the city. We do a dad joke of the week that I've started having recently turned 1 year old son. So we have fun doing cheesy dad jokes.
Now, does one come to your mind right off? Do you know one?
Let's see. The one that I used probably most recently and used with other dads, you being a dad as well.
Yeah.
Mike, do you know where dad jokes are stored?
Oh, no.
Where do you store your dad jokes?
I have no idea.
Well, in your database, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go. Exactly. My co-host Andy kind of rolls his eyes and puts up with it.
But I like it. I like
it. We have a really good time together.
Oh, that's so much fun. And Andy, that the accent that he has, it's so delightful. And we have to talk about that every time we're together. And he's just a really fun guy. And, you know, we worked together on the Better Man event and all of the weeks leading up to that. And during the pandemic lockdown, they really served a lot of people with these Better Man moments. And we're the media partner with them for that. So Andy and I have gotten to work together a lot, and he's been a frequent guest on the show, and time to get him back on here too.
I did not realize y'all were partners in that. We are very thankful for Better Man, and thank you to Shepherd Radio. Our church during the pandemic, you know, was obviously, just like many churches, we're looking for ways to connect, have folks be in community, in relationship to one degree or another. And so your live stream of that event actually gave us the opportunity to kind of invite men. We had about a dozen guys come together. We were socially distanced. We watched the Better Man event and then kind of broke out in groups and had discussions based on the conversation. Was it Mariano Rivera?
Yeah.
He was the speaker.
Yeah. He was one of the guys. Now, he was not there live. I was privileged to be there and getting to interview all of the people that were there, like Daryl Strawberry and
Lecrae.
And I did not get to talk to Lecrae, although I passed him in the hall and he's very tall. But I got all of the speakers. It was just Pastor Sammy was there. And the funny guy. Oh, my goodness. He's just great. His name is escaping me right now, but funny guy that was.
Yeah, that comedian. I can't recall his name either. It's
awful.
Off.
But also just OB Diaz, who is the MC. I got to talk to all of these guys. And, of course, Brian Buckley. And we all love Brian, and he's just amazing. So it's really fun to see how that is developing. And then Andy goes off and has this interview with the guy that ends up winning the whole Daytona 500.
The Daytona 500. We brought that up on a podcast. I joked. I said, Andy, I don't even think you and I would even know the first thing about the NASCAR or anything. But, hey, man, you got a special touch there or something. Mm-hmm. Brought good luck to that guy.
Yeah. Now, there's another dad joke that just brought that up to me. The guy that's in the South and says, that's a pretty NASCAR you got there. And that's how the name came. So,
there you go.
No, that's all that I'm going to give you today. So.
We better stop with the dad jokes. We might lose our listeners.
That's right. Oh, my guest today is Drew Taylor from Willow Creek. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Drew. Where did you grow up?
Sure. So, Mike, I am a proud native Floridian. I know that a lot of folks come from different parts of the country to our beautiful state. I was born and raised in the small town, west central Florida of Brooksville.
Oh, yeah.
About 90 minutes to the west of us. You can take Highway 50 almost straight into my house in the area I grew up. It was a great place to grow up. Small town, country town. My parents still live there to this day.
It's a gorgeous area. Mm, I've been to Homosassa Springs many times.
Absolutely. Got to see the manatees and mm-hmm. go swim in the springs. Yeah, so growing up there, it was a very much a family environment. I grew up in church. I was baptized in the Lutheran church, but grew up primarily in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. the EPC. Mm-hmm. And it was really there. I was formed and shaped. We talked off air that we both spent time in Gainesville. I am a Florida Gator.
So yay, go Gators.
Go Gators. Yeah,
that's right.
In fact, I was there a good time to be a Gator. I was there from 2004 to 2008, which included two football and two basketball national championships.
That is so cool that you were there.
At the time, as a young, naive college student, I'm thinking, man, this is great. We're going to be riding this forever. It's just going to be constant chance. Well, you know, here we are 13 years later and we'd give anything to be back on top.
What goes around comes around. Mm-hmm. And so that's right.
You got to enjoy those precious moments.
But we were there during the Titletown years. That's what they called us, Titletown.
That's right.
It's really something. And the big news now has been with Tim Tebow possibly rejoining Urban Meyer. What are your thoughts on that? Have you been following that?
It's wild. Yes. I'm certainly happy that Tim Tebow is going to have an opportunity to play professional football again. I would say that you and I both would agree that he is going to be successful no matter what he is involved with. I love all the nonprofit stuff he does. Those proms for mm-hmm. individuals with special needs is really, really cool. I actually, if we have time, I have a quick Tim Tebow story.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Hopefully this doesn't get back to him, but I promise it's all true and it's in the most positive light. But, he and I actually took a class together. I'm 2 years older than him. So this would have been my senior year of college, his sophomore year, the year he won the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. And we had a class. It was basically the study of how a city is formed and developed. And so we took the class. There was an exam on a Friday. And the next day we played Tennessee, which is, of course, one of our rivals. Well, we beat Tennessee really bad in the swamp. It was great. Everybody was pumped. So fast forward the following Monday, everyone's back in class because they are getting their test results back. Well, Tim happens to sit right next to me. I've never met the man. Obviously, he's our star quarterback. I'm trying to play it cool. I'm a nobody. So I'm just kind of doodling in my notebook, trying to look, you know, uninterested, even though here is this big celebrity. And so we get our test back and I kind of glance over. I don't see his is folded up. And I had gotten a decent grade. I don't recall exactly, but A or B, something like that. But I looked over and I said, Tim, I kind of got the courage to speak. I said, hey, how'd you do on your test? He showed me and it wasn't very good, which was unfortunate. But this is what he said, which I thought was perfect. He said, well, I either had to study for this test or study game film for Tennessee. And I was like, good choice, man. Yeah, way to win the game for us. But he, I will tell you this, he was the most kind, genuine. He had a 5-minute conversation with me. He looked me in the eye. He didn't look like he was too cool or too big or important for me. And I always appreciate that interaction. Mm-hmm. So I should have, Mike, looking back, I should have said, well, man, I'm happy to tutor you or, you know, get together, whatever you need moving forward. But I didn't do that. We only had the one interaction.
Well, he's a great guy, and he's a big guy too. You know, I've been around him. I can't say that I really got to talk with him, but we did sit at the same table at an event where my kids sang before he spoke.
Oh, wow.
So that was a lot of fun back in the day. Mm-hmm. But he's a tall guy too, man. He's one of these big guys, and of course, everyone seems tall to me. That's just the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness! So you grew up in Florida? Were your folks were they believers?
Yeah, they are believers.
I know, in fact, you mentioned, you said you had were part of a church, a Lutheran church, I think you said.
That's right. Was baptized in the Lutheran church, and then we moved when I was in about middle school to really find some community, some younger families with children, my sister and I's age. And my parents have been very involved over the years in that EPC church. And in fact, they are now helping plant a sister church, or a daughter church rather, in the next community over of Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. And my dad has served as a ruling elder in the past in the Presbyterian denomination. My mom has been a part of a bunch of different committees to help serve in our student ministry there. And so I would say I was formed and shaped principally by them. Mm-hmm. They didn't ever serve in formal church ministry, but have been lay ministry leaders for many, many years.
How early on did you know or have a desire that you might be a pastor?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the common joke, and you've served in pastoral ministry, is if you could do anything else, right, go pursue that other thing. There's some truth to that. I was sort of open to God's leading. I've had a passion for children. I've had a passion for families. I love sports. I love basketball in particular. And so really, even up my time in Gainesville, I kind of thought I was headed down the road of being a teacher and a coach to some degree or another. That sort of shaped and formed, and maybe I'd work in the nonprofit field.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, what really God used an opportunity, 2008, I graduated, was not a great time, moved back to my hometown looking for work. And our youth pastor hired me on as kind of an assistant there at the church. And God really orchestrated that time where I was teaching children's Sunday school.
Oh, that's awesome.
22 years old, and felt the call. I need to study the Bible. I need to get more engaged with really learning tangibly how to communicate this word. And that led me to seminary.
There you go. And then you're at RTS, and the rest is history. You met a lot of great people over there, I know. My guest today, Drew Taylor. And he's with Willow Creek in Winter Springs. And we're going to be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. This is The Shepherd.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
Back again with Drew Taylor from Willow Creek. You know, somebody asked me today, and I told them, I don't believe there's any association between your church and the Willow Creek in Northern Illinois. There's no relationship.
That's right. We share a name and a name only. It's kind of a funny story, Mike. So we are Willow Creek Church, Presbyterian Church of America, PCA. Mm-hmm. And so if you search for us on social media of any kind, if you just type in Willow Creek Church, almost guaranteed you're going to find and be directed to that church in the suburb of Chicago, up in Illinois. And we are very thankful for their ministry over the years. But yeah, the reason we got our name, selected our name, was back in the late 80s when we were founded, 1988. We were located in the storefront, which is at the corner of Redbug Lake Road and Tuscaloosa Road. And in that plaza, it's known as Red Willow Plaza. And behind the plaza, there's a little tiny creek. And so our church leaders back there in the day, this was before my time, of course, they decided on Willow Creek. And our original place of worship is now currently a Jimmy John's. So, free, you know, instead of maybe free smells, we say free grace. Come on into Willow Creek.
And the smells are great at Jimmy John's. I mean,
yes, they are.
If you've ever been there, if you've never been there, yeah, you got to try that burger. That's pretty great. Oh, it's great to have you here. I've already learned this much about, if you missed the first segment, we've learned this about our guest today. He likes basketball. He's a Gator. He sat next to Tim Tebow. What more do we need to say? He's a great guy. All right? We can all feel good. And he's a podcaster, and he knows Andy Searles, for crying out loud. So this is awesome. Tell us a little bit about the church. And again, we heard in segment one that the church is in a time of transition where you're waiting on the next senior pastor. You're the interim pastor.
That's right. So I've been very blessed to kind of watch and view and serve the church in a variety of functions. I started as an intern and served as our children's ministry director for a couple of years, and now I've been the role of assistant pastor. And what I've noted over time are really two things, Mike, that stand out. Number one is that our church is more and more reflecting the community in which we find ourselves in. I think it's very easy, right, to kind of associate a church, oh, this church is set up this socioeconomic class of people or reflects a certain type of culture. We really desire to reflect the neighborhood and the community in which we find ourselves in. We're located right at the intersection of Winter Springs and Castleberry, two distinct communities, and more we're reflecting that as a congregation. One thing that we're very proud of is we have about 40 to 45 individuals who are Hispanic, whose first language is Spanish. And so we joyfully have reflected that in terms of our leadership. Up front on a Sunday morning, you'll see individuals that can sing in both English and then Spanish. We have a Spanish-speaking ministry and a Bible study. So we're very proud of reflecting kind of the diversity of Central Florida and particularly our communities of Castleberry and Winter Springs. And then the second thing that I've noted is that I would describe our church as very much like a swimming pool. And I use this kind of sarcastically because my wife is actually a swimming teacher in Castleberry. But the reason I say we're like a swimming pool is that in most pools, you have a shallow end and a deep end, right? And for, I think for churches, sometimes, maybe not intentionally so, but there kind of becomes a directive and a focus of we either desire to be, maybe a word from a few years ago would be seeker sensitive, or make it very, very easy and quite kind of shallow in terms of what we communicate about the truths of God's word and about the Christian faith. And then maybe on the other extreme, it's, you know, we're very heady and we're very focused on our folks going very, very deep. And so for individuals coming from different places, they may determine, looking at a church, where do I fit in? And so we describe ourselves as a swimming pool because we have some very clear elements from our new members class to our kind of basics of Christianity, to connecting with those that are new and newer to the faith, that they can enter no matter where you are. If you've never heard the name Jesus, you don't own a Bible, don't know anything about Christianity, we even dedicate time during our service to specifically address those who are non-believers or those who are seeking. But then on the other hand, because we are reformed in our teaching, because we preach and teach the Bible and the truths of the gospel each and every Sunday and throughout the week and want people to go deeper, we have the ability for folks to go in kind of the quote unquote deeper end of the theological pool. So those are two things that we're very, very proud of as our kind of reflection of our community and also the ability to kind of see folks get connected, both who are newer to the faith as well as those who've been around for a long, long time.
Now, you spent some time at RTS, and that is definitely the deep end of the pool there.
It is the deeper end.
I love that.
Steve Brown, who we both know very well and has been in the community a long time.
I actually don't know him super well, but I've had him in a class, and I loved him.
And he's a perfect example of that, right? Steve theologically deep, knows all the, you know, the truth, and I'm sure can read and recite Greek and the original language of the scriptures, but also speaks about radical grace and speaks candidly to folks from a wide variety of faith backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so Steve worshiped at Willow Creek for many, many years. He preached at Willow Creek a number of times over the years and has really, I think, helped with that culture of trying to reach those that are both theologically deep as well as those who are a little more shallow.
Now, people who are not, let's say, into seminary or understand the gem of what RTS is in our area, but there are, at any given time over the last number of years, over the last 30 years, world-class teachers and people that would be known authors that are there. Steve Brown would be one of them. But I think through the years, they brought in Jerry Bridges, D.A. Carson, people like that, that if you're a reader and you know some things about theology, for crying out loud, that RTS is the place to be.
It's funny you mention that because, in fact, in the middle of our pastoral search, which I mentioned earlier, we kind of have a rotational preaching schedule at the moment. I'm preaching once to twice a month, but that leaves some opportunities for others. And you hit the nail on the head, Mike, where RTS is about 10 minutes down the road from our church. We've had a few of the professors. Mike Glodo is one in particular who has come and preached several times at Willow Creek. We had Dr. Richard Pratt, in fact, preached last Sunday,
yeah.
Who was a former professor there and now has started a ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Pratt is a sharp, sharp man. So we are extremely blessed here in Central Florida, in Orlando, to have just so many sound, deep theological thinkers. I'm going to be honest, I feel just a little bit overwhelmed and maybe even a little bit fearful of like, man, do I even hang in there and hold up? But I like to learn from those guys for sure.
Yeah. You know, one expression that we had back in the day was we love reading dead guys and getting to meet the live guys there. That's right. Because you got to do both. You got to hear the J.I. Packers and people like that. I mean,
that's right.
It was really an amazing time and something that really I don't think anyone that's ever had a love for or attended a seminary could have ever had a better experience than what RTS gave.
Let's hope we don't meet any dead guys.
No. Right, yeah, you don't meet the dead guys there. Only in the books. Only in the books. And there's lots of them. You know, you're one of these guys, Drew, I can tell. Because of the fact, and I love the word that you use, you're a connector. And that's really what a person who has your responsibility in the church, you go the whole gamut from evangelism, and then more so than just reaching people with the gospel, which that in itself is amazing. But you get to connect them into the church, into the life of the church. And there's an old expression, getting them plugged in. Mm-hmm. That's something that you would do as well.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think of Ephesians 4. It's one of my go-to scriptures when it talks, Paul is kind of laying out the different leaders in the church, right? The prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, it speaks his charge for the leaders of the church is to equip.
For works of service.
Right? To kind of get. So I really see my role ideally at a perfect. I'm an extrovert. I'm, you know, all those different charts and categories of people. I'm very much a people person. Sometimes my wife kind of laughs and rolls her eyes as she's waiting on me to get out, you know, out of church later in the day. But what I find real joy in is seeing folks come together in community that are like-minded believers, but maybe don't know one another, right? A church of Willow Creek, we have about 400 members. And so, you know, it can be hard to get to really know people, especially if you're new or newer. And so I love making connections. Hey, you're a Gator fan or you're into, you know, this, you have kids this age. Let's get you connected. And then just as important is also to identify what are the spiritual gifts that individuals have? If it's hospitality, if it's cooking, if it's speaking or teaching, whatever it is, getting them connected either to serve in the church or out in the community in Castleberry and Winter Springs. So that's where I find joy.
That point, spiritual gifts. Now, one of the things that we found, most of the time, people aren't aware of what their gifts are. Would you find that to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. Or if they do recognize what their spiritual gift is, they don't necessarily associate it with this is how I can glorify God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it may be, for example, somebody is very comfortable having people over at their home, right? But they don't necessarily associate that with the gift of hospitality, that by creating a warm, a safe, inviting place that allows others to get together to then share and do life together, as we refer to Willow Creek.
Because we're all called to do many of the gifts that are given out to people. And yet at the same time, there are those that just clearly excel because it is something that is there, not by them, but by God, that he's put that gifting inside of them. And I think helping people, what you're doing is you're helping people appreciate and recognize what their gift is.
Well, and particularly at this time, kind of post pandemic and during the season of COVID, I know we'll touch on that a little more later, but what I've found is folks are really struggling with isolation and, you know, really feeling a lack of community. And so just the recognition that, hey, I don't necessarily have to be able to quote scripture or be able to teach or speak any profound truths, but just simply having a ministry of presence, finding individuals that are willing to say, yeah, I'll open my home, or I'll be willing to meet with so-and-so. And for me as a pastor, just the joy of connecting individuals together. Hey, here's somebody that's struggling, going through a difficult time, connecting them with somebody who's just, yeah, I'll be there with them. And that I've seen that occur. And frankly, this is the truth for the whole, we need each other. We can't do our Christian life alone, much less just life in general alone. We need each other.
You know, this is a time we've talked about, you touched on it right there, and we'll go ahead and jump into this a little bit before we have to take a break. This season, you've been there 11 years, so you've seen a lot of changes, but I would dare say, because this is true for us all, the past 18 months, if we just do it that way, the difficulties that have come because of just what's going on in America, number one, with everything from racial tensions to coronavirus. This has been the most difficult season that I think you probably ever experienced in your 11 years there.
Certainly. Yeah. And I'm still a relatively young minister. I've had the privilege through Andy and through some other relationships. We try to have a kind of a pastor cohort. Mm-hmm. Your son-in-law, Chris, is a part of those as well. And we've been talking about those things and how we can care for one another and encourage each other. Men and women that have served much longer than I have said that exact sentiment, that this has been the hardest year, 18 months of their ministry lives. And so on one hand, I guess I'm encouraged that the Lord has sought it pleasing to sustain me and sustain so many churches in our area, including Willow Creek. And we've been able to kind of move forward and figure out technology and just other ways to connect and share the truth of the gospel with others. But on the flip side, the difficulty and the stress has certainly weighed heavily on folks, and I think continues to do so. One thing that, you know, what maybe isn't necessarily something that is shared often publicly, but I am a big supporter of counseling, of mental taking care of your mental health. I'm recently picked back up with a counselor and have been going just as an outlet, as a need. We need to be able to talk about difficult issues in our lives. And Willow Creek, just as an aside, we have a partnership with the Redeemer Counseling Center, and give them a little plug. We love to connect our members and friends from the community with Redeemer. Mm-hmm. But I just find that during this pandemic, with the, not only the pandemic, but you know, the issues of the day, the masks, and it just feels like there's a lot of disunity and distrust and kind of combativeness. Having the means and the resources to be able to simply speak to these things, and for me as a minister and other ministers out there to recognize that our call is to keep the main thing the main thing, not get drug into different political camps or social or events. We could speak to them and about them, but ultimately our call is to point our people to Christ.
Keeping the main thing is the main thing. There's no question about it. And there is no doubt that if we are able to do that, and when we do that, we're going to make it through these times. And I'm encouraged. I think there's a lot of signs that people are in churches starting to kind of trust a bit more and get out a bit more, and things are opening up more. Praying that it does even more so as we go on into the summer. But some of that is yet to be seen, and we'll continue to pray that that happens. My guest today is Drew Taylor. He is with the church. It's Willow Creek, and that is in Winter Springs. And we're going to be back with Drew in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again for one more segment with Drew Taylor from Willow Creek in Winter Springs. And it's such an honor to get to know you a little bit here and to find out all of these things that are on your heart, things that your church has gone through, things your church is going through. And, you know, we were talking a moment ago in the last segment about the impact of this COVID and the pandemic. It seems at times now it seems like it's never going to get past. And I think there are a lot of people that would probably be walking even today feeling that, will my trip to Publix ever look like it used to? What are you seeing in your church with that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And obviously everyone, every human being in the world seemingly has an opinion on this subject. Mm-hmm. What I've seen that has brought me great encouragement is, number one, at least at Willow Creek, and not 100% anywhere, but there seems to be a general spirit of support and love, that we really do care about our fellow man and want to encourage each other. We have really been, at our church at least, been really keen on sticking to whatever kind of our county and state guidelines are. So up until just recently, early May, maybe end of April, we had, you know, signs on the doors that said, please, masks required upon entrance. And we shifted things like some of our larger church events that we used to do inside, moved them to outside. And folks have been really fine with that. They've been socially distant and been caring of one another. But all that being said, what I think has occurred recently is a real sense in, like, let's get back to quote normal, or at least let's move forward without masks. Most of our congregation has gotten vaccinated. We have recently removed kind of the ropes that have marked off specific pews in our worship center. And we've encouraged just maximum seats and seating so that folks can space out. There's plenty of folks that still wear masks and would prefer to have that extra level of comfort. And to that end, we are all for, we advocate, hey, do what you and your family need to do. But what we're seeing more and more is that folks are getting back together. They're coming back online. That's probably not only our church, but other churches, kind of that step and stage we're in right now of saying, when we're looking at individuals in our church family, to say, hey, come back in person. We know you've had this season of being able to watch remotely and be online. In fact, we kind of joke as a staff, maybe we'll reduce the quality or the video content, you know, make it like difficult to stay home. But whatever the case may be, if you're a listener out there and maybe you've been vaccinated, you've done what you need to do, but you're still kind of hesitant, please come back. I can't tell you how encouraging it is for a pastor, for staff, and for your church family as a whole. You're missed. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing to see people in person more and more.
There seems to be a growing maybe fear about the vaccinations? Do you see that happening at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I think at this point, we've kind of noted that those that are keen on and insistent on getting the vaccine are getting it. And that's a great thing. There hasn't been too much conspiracy talk. We try to steer conversations, you know, away from, mm-hmm. from that. But people do talk and share. And I would say generally there's a segment of our and that's the beauty of living in a free country, right? There's a segment of our congregation that has said I've decided on my own accord and will, I'm going to get vaccinated. And there's others that have decided, you know what? I'm not confident. I'm not comfortable. And I'm not going to get vaccinated. And I really believe that those two parties can and frankly need to coexist. If mm-hmm. if I be candid, Mike, one of the things that concerns me is when we make a subject like vaccines and like a pandemic, a virus, make it solely a political issue where it separates and divides us, even as believers, right, where we have Christ in common. That can be really damaging for mm-hmm. the cause of Christ and the impact of the church as a whole. And so our kind of station on it is you can do your thing. This other person can do their thing. And we really can coexist together with keeping the main thing the main thing.
So I'm gonna tax you here as a pastor for a moment. Put your pastor hat on. And with all the things that Americans are going through right now, we've just talked about the pandemic, and we mentioned earlier the tensions, the division in our country. What and how can we take, do you see as churches, as church people, how can we take the gospel and make it practical to people who are right now maybe hurting a lot?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I am a firm believer in that the ministry of presence. It's interesting. I listened to a sermon recently at our church. One of our guest preachers shared, and it's from Ephesians 4, which I quoted earlier, but it says, speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. And I think what has happened in large part, and I think of specifically the instance, the march on the Capitol building mm-hmm. and the infiltration of the Capitol, you know, there were a lot of the church received a lot of flack for that in the sense that, you know, there were people holding flags with crosses on them and there was Christian music being played. And the minister that shared at our church gave this illustration that when you give a gift to somebody you love, you take time to wrap it. And that a lot of times what's inside the box is already received either positively or negatively by the exterior wrapping. And he used the analogy to say, we have an important, significant message to the world. We have a message of healing that we believe that people from all walks of life, we really haven't touched on the subject of race, but I think it's a beautiful picture. The gospel says it doesn't matter what color mm-hmm. your skin mm-hmm. is or where you came from, that we are one collectively mm-hmm. in our faith in Jesus. But you know, if I come across and I don't present myself or present my message with love, with care, and I just spout off a bunch of things that may be true, it's not going to be received mm-hmm. well. And so I think the whole posture of kind of saying, you know, we need to, stand for truth no matter what. I 100% agree with that. We mm-hmm. do need to stand for truth, but we need to stand for truth with sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. We need to genuinely seek to care and understand those around us. A practical example of that is this last summer, in the midst of kind of the race riots and marching and protests and things going on, the city of Castleberry, the churches within Castleberry, we got together, both white and predominantly black churches, and we invited citizens from the community. We invited the chief of police, some of our local city officials, some of the school board members, and we gathered together and we led a prayer walk. And the goal wasn't to try to sway anyone's mind or to give passionate stump speeches, but it was simply to say, we care about those in our community. We want to listen. We want to understand those who maybe look differently than, if you can't tell, obviously radio, you can't see, I'm a white male, a middle class male. I want to understand and learn from, especially brothers and sisters, Christians, mm-hmm. who have a different skin color than me. So I would say, by and large, it's not that we withhold saying truthful, even challenging, hard things, but it's the way in which we do that. Standing on the corner, yelling and screaming, waving flags, probably not the way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that intentional ministry of presence.
So some of those things that you just mentioned really go right along with what I was getting ready mm-hmm. to say. What are the things that we are doing that we probably should reconsider, maybe not do?
Yeah. I would say, you know, as a whole, so I'm reading this interesting article right now, and I can share it with you to share with the listeners, but a guy named Kevin DeYoung is a minister. He writes for the Gospel Coalition. He wrote an article where he kind of breaks down people into different categories based on their views of gender, of race, of politics, political identity, and basically has formed this argument that these categories are, people are being divided more and more. And so, for example, if you fall on either the right or more the left on one instance or another, even as Christians, we almost don't have the ability to come together and to talk. And so I think one thing that the church needs to do is strategically think through how do I equip, there's that word again, mm-hmm. equip our members to hear and to speak in a way where it draws out conversations from people that maybe think differently, right? I've seen several times members of our church and folks from around the community, you know, go on social media, for example, and share an article or post something, and it almost puts them in a very specific camp. And so then if somebody is not in full agreement with them, it really says, well, I want nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. And that is really damaging. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement is to do less of trying to speak only on the subjects, especially the secondary subjects like political identity and things of that nature, that to not kind of go all in on that subject, but rather let's speak to the things we have in common and work towards mm-hmm. building a close relationship. Mike, you and I are both married, right? When we first met our wives, we didn't share the terrible attributes of ourselves, our messiness.
No, we put our best foot forward.
That's right. We built that trust, and then they got to know the lesser sides of us. And I would say that goes for all interactions with those around us, your neighbors, your friends. I have neighbors that are very different leaning politically, but we find common ground mm-hmm. in lots of other things. And so we start the conversation there and then move to where God has allowed us to go from there.
I read a book years ago by Chuck Swindoll, and it was something like Pass Me Another Brick or something like that was the title. In there, he makes this statement. He said, Christians are the only group around that shoot their own wounded. Mm-hmm. And that was a real hard-hitting statement when I read it. Mm-hmm. But it's doubly true today. We really do need to stop shooting our wounded, and we need to pray for our people.
That's right.
We need to pray more, love more, like what you were talking, the emphasis on love. And if we do that, God will, I believe, help us, and we'll see some of these things kind of pass and go away. In the remaining time, give us the website for the church and where you are and when you meet.
Absolutely. So we are located in Winter Springs, Florida, 4725 East Lake Drive. And our website is willowcreekchurch.org, willowcreekchurch.org. Again, when you search for us on Google or however, make sure you type in the PCA, because if you find Willow Creek Community Church, that's a great church, but that's in Illinois. It's not in Central Florida.
Not this one.
That's right. Our Facebook page, we're very active on. We actually do a morning prayer every morning at 8 a.m. With either a pastor, myself, or one of our staff. And you can find us on Facebook for that morning prayer and other announcements, including watching our service online. And that's just facebook.com/WillowCreekPCA.
It's great to have you here, Drew, and we wish you the best. And thank you so much for coming, and say hello to my friend Andy, if you will.
We'll do it.
Tell him he's due again. Okay.
Thanks,
and friends,
Mike.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on the Shepherd Radio Network.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.